we go. And where's Kenny Newman? Kenny Newman is okay. So Kenny Newman, basically, who is usually my sidekick on this thing, he is actually on the way to Vegas to do a job. Believe it or not, that's pretty amazing. So you know, of course, it's not the kind of job he wants to do. It's more of an unloading. But that's where we are. Wow, look at the clock. All right, that's the end of that. So I guess we will get ready to do this. If you guys are ready, I am ready, and I just need a few more seconds, and we will get going. All right.
Whether it be sound, lighting, video, we finance virtually any of that equipment. And
whoops, what is that? Where is that coming from?
It's David.
No, it's a. I've got so many windows open now I can't even find it. Okay, I found it. Found the window that was open. All right, there we go. you wouldn't believe how many windows I've got open right now. So I do have quite a few windows open. All right. Hey, well, thank you very much for everybody for coming. This is Jan Landy, and welcome to the Mastermind Roundtable, which is basically now becoming more of a support group for our industry than anything else, and where we talk about things that are good for us, for our health, our wealth, our well-being, spiritual, and anything else that comes up into our sphere of people like-minded like ourselves who want to be here when the virus seems to disappear. And that, I believe, is going to happen pretty quickly now that things are starting to move in a really good direction. I cannot believe that it's not going to be positive from here on in as everybody's following the news, but without getting into specifics. So hello, everybody, and welcome to the roundtable. I hope everybody had a great week. And so before we get into anything, and I will just explain, this week we're going to be talking about health, and health from a spiritual, from a financial, from a mental, and of course, you know, any other way you could think of health whatsoever, you know. And so that's really where we're headed this week. So I'm going to start it off with a little joke. An 82-year-old man walks into the doctor to get a physical, and a few days later, the doctor sees him walking down the street with a gorgeous woman on his arm. So a couple of days, the doctor saw the man. He said, "Hey, you're really doing great, aren't you?" And the man replied, "Just doing what you said, doc. I got a hot mama and be cheerful." And the doctor says, "I didn't say that. I said you got a heart murmur. Be careful." So that's the joke of the day, and we will move on. All right, so a lot is going on today. I don't know if anybody saw the letter from Michael Strickland, but Michael Strickland has definitely sent us an email of an update of what's basically going on. And basically the Senate and the House are a little far apart. The restart bill is not in the Senate bill. The House offered $2.2 trillion. Senate offered $5 billion yesterday's bill, which is nowhere near what we need. The House is staying at $2.2 trillion. So, and the other thing that Michael said is that NAM is going to do another call to action. So we've covered that bit of news, and now we can move on. Who would like to say something? Anybody feel like, adding something right now to the conversation? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Don't do this to me, guys. I can't even find my Zoom window. All right. Well, I've got notes up the yin-yang, so we'll keep going. All right. Let's see. Sleep. Sleep is important. One of the things, basically, that I was just reading an article about, and I have it right here, and I'm going to read it, and this is from AARP, so they're good for something. And it says here, laugh your way to a healthy life. Did you know that many health benefits is just by having a good laugh? So the next time you're in a funk, consider why they say laughter is the best medicine. So number one, it lowers your blood pressure. Laughing can reduce stress levels, resulting in lower blood pressure. All right. The correlation between laughing and lowered blood pressure has even inspired a new practice called laughter yoga. Has anybody heard of that? Anybody know Dr. Norman Peel? Anybody at all? Because he used to do he wrote a book about how he was diagnosed with cancer, and they said it was terminal, but yet he started watching all these comedy shows, and he started laughing a lot, and then the next thing you know, he was 100% healthy. So I guess he lived to tell the story another day. The other thing laughter does is it reduces your anxiety. Laughter can be an escape for those with anxiety, adding little positivity to life. A good sense of humor is helping coping with the mechanisms when dealing with a difficult situation. Of course, we're all going through that, so a little laughter would be good here and there. Refer back to that first joke that I told. All right? Heart health, of course, and human conditions. So, one of the tricks that I've learned to reduce stress is a little simple thing. It's non-tech. And all you got to do is just get some of this. Oh, my God, does that feel good? Tell me right now, are you not getting like a little woody right now? You just want to grab onto this. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. This is good stuff. Another good thing is a stress ball. So if you haven't stressed, you just squeeze it, and it feels good in your hand. Another thing is if you don't have a stress ball, a tennis ball is okay because put a hole in it and pin, and you could just whatever. The other thing that I recommend, look, there is David Dancy's got something over there. Thank God somebody's saying something. Is my mic? Can I hear you guys? Is anybody trying to talk? Holy moly! I've got to cover this all myself.
Microphone, am I on?
Yes.
Good.
Thanks. All right, there you go. The other thing is widgets. Now, widgets have been around for a long time, and, when you spin them, they make you feel good, whatever. But we got to go into high-tech widgets, and I just got this. This is called the Fly Nova, and I saw it advertised somewhere, and I said, I got to have one. So basically, what this is it's an electronic widget. And as you can see, it starts to blink. And what you do to get this going is you just spin it. And as you spin it, and you could throw it up in the air, and it actually flies. But you also could shut it off. That's it. All right, next. Wow, this is putting a lot of pressure on me. Normally, I would say, that you guys would normally chip in with some information, but I could see what you're doing to me. It's okay. I can handle it.
And do you want me to talk about health stuff?
Yes, please, Tom.
No, hang on. He is actually delivering on the first part, the humor part. Don't
talk about it now. It's getting slightly uncomfortable. Which is all right. So Jan asked me to present some information because George wasn't going to be here today. And let me give you a brief description of my story, which is approximately 18 months ago, I weighed 242 pounds and had a body mass index of about 27.7 with a hydrostatic test. So I made the decision to drop some weight. That's how my journey started. Today, I have added a great deal of muscle mass, probably 3/4 of a pound per month since that time period. And I have reduced my body mass index to just under 13%, 12.4 as of yesterday. But what I've learned along the way is really, really valuable information. And I posted up my email address and I posted up my mobile number, and I'm happy to share any of the deep dive information that I've gathered over the time period. I've done a bunch of study on nutrition, microbiome, exercise physiology, sleep, and including taking a 14-day sleep course. And I've also done a bunch of deep dive stuff on the pillars of well-being, particularly boosting your immune system. So in a nutshell, the first thing you want to address, if you're looking to improve your health, improve your immune system, improve your functionality on a cellular level, is you want to address your gut health, your microbiome. And the fastest way to do that, that I know of, is there's a company called Viome.com, V-I-O-M-E.com, they do two different kinds of tests. They do an RNA test of your gut bacteria, which is about $179 now. And they do a DNA test that's a lot more extensive. You don't need that. What they'll give you is they'll give you the makeup of your intestinal bacteria. They'll give you the superfoods that will support your healthy bacteria. They'll give you a list of the foods that you can enjoy, foods to minimize, and foods to avoid. Plus, they'll give you any supplementation that'll help strengthen your microbiome. Why is that important for you? Because, as is said in a couple of great books on this topic, you're not what you eat, you're what your bacteria decide to digest. So if you don't have a healthy microbiome, a healthy gut bacteria, your protein synthesis is going to be diminished. Your ability to support your immune system is going to be diminished. So the first step to really turn stuff around and improve your immune system is your gut health. Your bacteria that live inside of you make up more DNA than you make up. So basically, if you need a purpose on this earth, you're a walking petri dish for trillions of bacteria that are lodged in your body. And if you support them correctly and effectively, and you do it with real data instead of a hope and a wish, you will bolster your immune system and your digestive processes in a way that will strengthen every system in your body. Your bacteria talk to your brain. They tell your brain what they want to eat, and your bad bacteria do so, and your good bacteria do so. So the process is strengthen your good bacteria, eliminate your bad bacteria, and that's the first pillar of good health. So anybody who wants to know any more information about that, I'm happy to help you. I've been tracking my results every 100 days via testing, and makes a substantial difference in your ability to meet your goals, whether it's to lose weight, to increase your strength, to bolster your immune system. It's probably the single most important thing you can do for yourself, and it bolsters your mitochondrial level activity, which is one of the finest things you can do to fight off disease, illness, and sickness.
That is true. Very, very true. The other thing is of course, you know, Tom, now also physical condition and doing some sort of exercise also helped you out a lot as well.
So there's four pillars to health, really. There's your nutrition, which is based upon your microbiome. There's your exercise. And really, to get started, all you need to do is walk about 10,000 steps a day to help your body. There's your recovery time. Your rest, your sleep, your recovery time, absolutely critical. And then there's your engagement in activities that make you feel like living. Humor, hobbies, social interactions. And what we all suffer from is this lack of social interactions today based upon what's happened in our world. And so it's hard to replace that. This call is one of those ways that we do that. But our social interaction, we're social creatures as human beings. And so the lack of that has a deleterious effect on us, leads to depression, leads to a lack of forward thinking in terms of our optimism. So there's a lot of good information available on how to combat this. And on every call for the last several weeks, I've been talking a little bit, just making a mention of self-care. It's the first step to get us all through to the other side of this.
I would think you were 100% correct on that. You know, you covered like four different areas, and I think we could break it down a little bit. I think one of the things that I'd like to see you go into is a little bit more about sleep, because I was just reading an article in the New York Times about that in regards to how many hours we really need. And by the way, All of the things that we mentioned that there are links for will be in the chat. So at the end of this, if you just click the three buttons on the bottom by the chat, you'll be able to save the links and you could look at them at your convenience rather than right now. Yeah, so Tom, me, you want to talk about sleep?
Yeah, so the last leg of this journey for me really was sleep. Living in the live entertainment business for 50 years, I believed I only needed 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night. That's what I really thought about myself. Now, it's true that there's a select group of individuals, maybe 1%, who don't require that much sleep. But what I've learned, so my nutrition was in place, my exercise was in place, my microbiome was in place, and then I realized that in order to optimize my health, and I'm not after feeling good, I'm after optimizing my health to the greatest ability that I can. So sleep requires several things. The best book I've read is Why We Sleep, which is available on Amazon, and you can Audible book it or you can get it in hard copy. But what you want is you want to be able to track your deep sleep and your REM. You need a minimum of 30 minutes of deep sleep and a minimum of 30 minutes of REM sleep per night. An hour of each is better. 90 minutes of each is phenomenal. When I started this process 4 or 5 weeks ago on working on my sleep, I got about 18 minutes of deep sleep and I got about 27 minutes of REM. I'm now up to I'm about 42 minutes of deep sleep, and now I'm at an hour and 20 minutes of REM. And I can tell you it makes a substantial difference in how I feel. Now, unfortunately, because of my age, I'm 68, it takes me about 9.5 hours to get that, because I wake up, I do some stuff, I go back, I rest, I wake up again, I do some stuff, I go back and I sleep. So it takes me 2 or 3 cycles to complete that process. But I know a bunch of hacks that will help you do that. I just finished this 14-day sleeping course. And in a time like this, sleep is probably, next to your gut health, the second most important thing, because it's the recovery process and the cleansing process for all of the functions in your body, primarily your brain, but it also cleans out the rest of your system. And without that sleep, you don't get proper protein synthesis, so you can't build muscle mass. So some of the five simplest biohacks that I've learned is, number one, don't eat a large meal 2.5 to 3 hours before you're going to sleep. 2, get rid of blue light 2 to 3 hours before you sleep. That means either wear stupid looking blue blocker glasses like these, or cut off the computer 2 hours before you're going to go to sleep. 3, you want a pitch black room. And by pitch black, I mean pitch black. You want blackout curtains, and you know all those little LED lights that are around your room? You want to cover them with dots or masking tape, because to the primal brainstem, those little red lights are like eyes in the back of the cave. And so your primal brainstem is on alert when it sees all those little lights out there in the cave, because it thinks there's predators in your room. So put little dots on your little red lights, because you have 3 layers to your brain, and your primal brainstem is looking out and seeing those things, and they're like predator eyes, okay? 4, cool temperature, 65 degrees is ideal in your room. And 5, and this is a pattern that happens with people as they age. There's a thing called a glial cell, which handles the glycogen transfer from your liver to your brain. Your brain uses about 21 to 23% of your energy consumption on a 24-hour period. Well, while you're sleeping, your brain is very, very active, so it's looking for glycogen stores. So if you don't have any glycogen in your liver, you're going to wake up at night. And the reason you're waking up is because your brain is releasing cortisol and it's releasing adrenaline, small amounts, in order to trigger the release of glycogen in your liver. So the release of cortisol, the release of adrenaline produces a liver response producing glycogen. So your brain gets the sugar it wants, but it wakes you up. So a hack you can do for that is, I don't know if you guys know what medium chain triglycerides are. MCT oil, brain octane oil, C8 oil, olive oil, avocado oil. If you take a half a teaspoon of oil just before you go to bed, and you take maybe one scoop of collagen, protein collagen powder, grass-fed, what that does is that'll give you the glycogen stores in your liver to get you through the night without waking up, because your brain will have the slow release energy it requires. I stop eating at about 8 o'clock at night. So by the time I get to 3 a.m, my body thinks it's been fasted. That single hack has helped me get to 4 or 5 a.m. now. It's added to both my REM sleep and my deep sleep. And the last trick, and this is a really effective one, before you go to bed, write down a list of the things you're grateful for. Just take 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, write down 5 or 6 things that you're grateful for and do a little data dump on a piece of paper or on your laptop. What you're doing is you're dumping your anxiety and concerns onto paper or onto your computer before you go to sleep. That way you don't have to process them during the night. So that's another little biohack that works. There's a mushroom extract called lion's mane extract, but it has to be in liquid form. That will increase your REM sleep substantially. And of course, sensuality helps. I don't know about any of the rest of you, but if I have great sex before I go to bed, it really helps me sleep.
Well, I've been trying to do that myself, but I'm all alone. Just like, the first time I ever had sex.
Hi, I'm alone.
But that's a little more too private for you guys. What can I say? A little levity here. But
Jan, they say learning to love yourself is truly the greatest love of all.
That's right. It's kind of interesting, that you say about, you've given so much information so quickly that I'm having a hard time digesting all of it. But there were a few things that you did say about, one, getting rid of all of those little lights in your room. I will put a link. I can't do it right now, but I will remember. So for next week when you tune in, I have these sheets of paper that this guy came up with. It's so cool. These little dots that you put over all your LED lights, and you could still see them, but just barely. So you know that the thing is on, and it doesn't leave any stickum on it, so that when you take them off, they're good. But they're really, I forgot what they're called, but I will put that link in, and I'll show you next week about that.
Let me tell you, so melatonin release happens late afternoon. Melatonin triggers your brain's circadian cycle to put you asleep at night. Bright light destroys your melatonin release. So you don't want to have any bright light starting at about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. Dim your lights, put out some candles, get rid of your bright light. Unfortunately, those of us in live entertainment who are doing a show get inundated with bright light from 8 o'clock till 11 o'clock at night. But what I started doing before this all shut down is I was wearing light filtered glasses at the console, so it would dim that light into my eyes. So bright light is another thing you want to eliminate 3 to 4 hours before you go to sleep, because it destroys your melatonin release.
Right. Tom, I just have a question for you regarding you mentioned oil. Now, I got this CBD oil, which of course, I think it's legal everywhere in the United States.
CBD oil is a product for muscle relaxant, for pain relief. I'm talking medium chain triglycerides, which are a type of fat. So you need good fat. My diet is basically 40% protein, 40% carbs, 20% really good fats. And good fats are avocado oil, olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, medium chain triglycerides, or MCT oil. There's several different kinds. There's MCT oil, there's C8 oil. Those are called medium chain triglycerides. I have it before I go to bed. I have it first thing when I wake up, because that goes immediately to feed your brain. Your brain loves those really good oils. So one of the reasons I'm able to drop my body fat at my age to 12 to 13% is because I'm giving my body the good oils that it needs, so my body doesn't have to store them. So medium, it's called MCT oil. You can get it at Costco. You can get, now it's available widely. I use David Asprey's from Bulletproof Coffee. He makes three different kinds. I use his XCT oil and I use a C8 oil. They're both great.
Yeah, they also help in digestion as well. But the one thing that you have to be careful when you do the oil like that is that you can't take an. You have to start slowly and work your way up.
A tablespoon.
Yeah, and then you have to work.
It's a natural diuretic, so you have to be really careful.
Yeah,
it took me a month to get to a tablespoon.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have it. It's been a part of my process for about a year and a half now. And it has made a substantial difference in both brain energy, clarity of thinking, and my body's ability to not have to store fat because I have fat readily available in my diet, good fats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the medium chain triglycerides absorb much quicker than other types of fat into your system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Tom, you also mentioned last week, and I know this is a little extenuation of what you were talking about, but in regards to the health, you mentioned the Oura Ring. Are you still using that?
Yeah. So the reason that I have an Oura Ring is three purposes. Number one, it gives you, it links to a software program on your phone, and it gives you a data dump in the morning when you open the app of exactly your sleep cycles, and it gives you a lot of information. Gives you your beats per minute, gives you your resting heart rate, gives you your variability in heart rate. It also gives you your temperature, which is fantastic, temperature variation, but it shows you your particular sleep cycles. The thing about your microbiome is yours is unique to you. The thing about your sleep pattern is it's also unique to you. So mm-hmm. All of the science studies say there's four REM cycles. I have four REM cycles. My wife has one REM cycle, one long 90-minute to 2-hour REM cycle. I've never seen anything like it, but that's what she does. She drops into deep sleep. She comes up into light sleep, then she has a 90-minute to 2-hour REM cycle, and then that's it. For me, it takes me the entire night to get all four REM cycles, and the fourth REM cycle is the most important in restoring and cleansing your brain. Without that fourth REM cycle, and it's one of the ways that people are tortured, you will go into psychosis after 72 hours. So mm-hmm. that's how important that fourth REM cycle is. This Oura Ring gives you all of that data, and it shows you. So I'm kind of being an audio guy, I'm kind of a data freak. And so I have an opinion, but I always check my opinion against factual scientific evidence. That's why I do all of the testing I do every 6 months I get a complete blood panel, making sure that everything that I'm doing is hitting the targets that I'm aiming for. I have very, very specific targets. For instance, I don't work out, I train. There's a different mindset. I train specifically for a specific purpose. I'm not working out, I'm training. When I'm doing my sleep work, I'm specifically trying to increase my REM sleep to 1 hour a night and my deep sleep to 1 hour a night. Now that is a 60% increase from where I started. That's my goal. I'd love to get to an hour of each. That would be ideal. At a minimum, you need 30 minutes of each, but you don't know what you're getting unless you have a way of measuring it. So the Oura Ring, O-U-R-A, does that for you. You put it on, it tracks all of that data, you download it in the morning, and it's got some really cool information. And you can also link your exercise and I link my exercise app to it. So my current caloric burn runs between 3,100 and 3,400 calories a day. So all of that information tells me what my protein intake has to be, what my carbohydrate intake, and what my fat intake has to be. So it all links together to make a holistic system that I can track, and then I can look at the results. How is my muscle mass gain? At my age, I'm supposed to be losing 3 to 7% of my muscle mass per decade. I happen to have reversed that, and I'm gaining 3/4 of a pound of muscle a month for the last 18 months. That's not possible according to science, but it's absolutely doable by taking the steps that I'm taking. So I've reversed my body's decay, and I have done that through practical applied study and knowledge and tracking it. Without having a way to check your feelings or emotions or faith, you have no way to substantiate evidentially that you're accomplishing your goals. Does that make sense? So the Oura Ring does that for sleep and recovery.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't now, do you wear that in conjunction with, like, let's say, an Apple Watch or a Google Watch? Or
Apple Watch.
Apple Watch. Yeah, and because the Apple Watch does have some...
I use the Apple Watch to track all of my caloric burn in my exercises, but the Oura Ring does that well because it now links to my fitness app.
Right. Now, how does your physical health relate to your spiritual health?
So historically, we'll go back to the Greek and the Eastern philosophers. If you look at tantric yoga and you look at Greek philosophy, they're all based upon the body being your temple. So the clearer and cleaner your body is, the more energy you can run through it, and the easier it is to control your breath, to control your heart rate, and to control your mood. I'll show you one other thing. This is relatively new for me. I was an early investor in this, but I've only got a couple of weeks using this. It's called a HAPBEE, H-A-P-B-E-E, and it basically matches brainwave signals to certain moods or temperaments. They have six different functions: sleep, calm, alertness, happiness, rest, and then there's one other that I don't think that I've used. But what they've did is I spent $71 million tracing what the brain sine waves look like, and then they replicate them, and then this, for up to 2 hours, you wear in one of those modes, mm-hmm. and you can wear it either around your neck, which is what I do, or you can wear it up on your head, which some people do. You turn the program on your phone, and your brain comes into sync with the HAPBEE wave form, and it does the job.
Very, very cool. So now, I'm sure some people have some questions for you in the room, and if not, I can come up with a few, but I know Michael Brown's always good for some questions. So Michael, ask him something.
So, it sounded, Tom, like you were talking about, when you were talking about the oils, you were talking about lectin-free oils. I'm working my way through the plant paradox right now.
Yeah, Gundry's first book.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, so his first book is a broad research into the microbiome. His second book, The Longevity Paradox, is much better. But here's what I will tell you. His research is accurate. He's totally on board in his science about the microbiome. But where he goes off, where he goes astray, I think, is its broad generalities. And here's what I will tell you that I've discovered. Your microbiome and my microbiome are completely different. So there's certain general truths, but the more specific you are to yourself, the better off you are. And so I use Gundry's prebiotic, and I use Gundry's polyphenols, his red fruit powder, every morning. That's the first drink I have with 8 ounces of water. He sells a lot of other stuff that you don't need, but viome.com picks up where Gundry's research stops, and it gives you the specific detail and information for your gut health. I've lived with my beautiful bride for 30 years, and when I first started this, I thought that because we live together, because we eat the same diet, because we live in the same, you know, atmosphere, our microbiomes would be similar. Couldn't be more different. When I got my test done, she saw the results in about 3 months, and then she got tested. Her microbiome, her superfoods, her supplementation was so different than mine, it was shocking. So what I learned from that is that each one of you special flowers is unique. And what the mistake we make in Western medicine is there's a broad application of approaches to the general population, and it works for a lot of people, but it doesn't work for some people. Gundry's research is phenomenal, and I adore him because he was my entrance into understanding how the microbiome works. But where he goes astray is he makes these broad general statements that are true for most people, but they may or may not be true for you. The way that you find out whether they work for you or not is by doing it and testing yourself. And that's the discovery path that I've been on. I appreciate his work. His second book, The Longevity Paradox, is actually better than his first book. And I highly reputable guy. He was a cardiothoracic surgeon who had patients come to him with complete heart blockage. And this Russian guy who came to him, Gundry was handled the bad cases. And so this Russian guy comes to him and says, what can you do for me, doc? And he did all of the tests, and he said, go have fun because you've got like 60 days left. Well, this guy went away, came back 6 months later. Gundry couldn't believe he was still alive. Gundry tested him again. His blockage was gone. And you want to know what this guy did? He just started drinking olive oil every day, just drinking olive oil. And that alone reversed his cardiovascular issues. And that's what put Gundry on the path of researching digestion in the microbiome. And so we talk about miracle cures, but they're not miracles. They're our lack of understanding of the basic cellular functioning of our digestive system. And so the more we learn about each of our individual digestive functionality, the better prepared we are to make the right choices. Mm-hmm. So some broad general statements. Yeah, get rid of all the lectin in your diet. Get rid of things that you know are not good for you. True. But when you look at the stuff I can eat, I'm a carnivore. It suits me great because of my blood type and my microbiome. My wife can't eat like I eat. Right? So it's because her microbiome's different. So to your point, when you read these books, you tend to want to go on I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to get all the supplements. Without knowing your specific digestive system, it's a crapshoot. Once you know it, you can target your bad bacteria to eliminate them, and you can support your good bacteria. And I will tell you, it will make the single biggest difference in your overall health. It's amazing what that change made. So I'll give you an example. At my age, 68, my protein synthesis is supposed to be at 50%. Now, I didn't know this before I started this, but I stumbled upon this little fact when I was reading an exercise physiology book. As you age, your protein synthesis diminishes. So what question did I ask? Why? Why does your protein synthesis diminish? Now think about it. If you follow the MDRs and you're eating the daily recommended amount of protein, you're eating 50% of the protein you actually need to support muscle health, muscle development. So what I did is I read that and I said, if that's true, then I need to eat 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. I eat 210 grams of protein a day. What happened is when I started doing that, my muscle loss reversed and I started gaining muscle because I was also doing progressive weightlifting, but I started adding muscle instead of losing muscle. So has any doctor ever told anybody on this call that their protein synthesis is diminishing with age? No, no one had ever said that to me. I had to find it out on my own. And then I found a way to reverse it. So on a good day, 30% of the energy from eating protein gets utilized in the protein synthesis in your body. So you're at 70% if you're 18 years old. By the time you get to 50, you're at 50%. By the time you get to 60 or 70, you're probably at 30 or 40%. I have biohacked my microbiome so that I'm back up to a 70% efficiency rate in protein synthesis. It shows on my test results. The amount of protein in my system shows. The amount of creatine in my system shows. So that, by improving my microbiome, I've improved my protein synthesis. And believe me when I tell you, muscle mass compared to fat is one of the key indicators for overall health and longevity in fighting disease and fighting degradation of your body. So that hack alone is worth doing. And the $179 you're going to spend at Viome.com to find out the stuff that you need to eat to improve your microbiome, we've all spent that on a bottle of wine or on a dinner. It's so worthwhile.
And what's that website again? Can you type it into the chat?
I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So, Tom, I want to ask you a question, and because we've covered the physical part of it, and I think that's very important. That, you know, the more physical fit you are, the more healthy you are in general. But how does that affect your mind? Because the reality right now is a lot of people right now are going through a lot of stress. Everybody in this room is going through some stress. And so one of the concepts that I wanted to bring out in this particular meeting was how we can eliminate some of the stress in our life.
All right. So one of the great things that exercise is good for is reducing stress. Now, here's the other issue I have with Gundry, and here's the issue I have with the longevity experts in general. There's two paths to health. One is I want to live as long as I can. The other path is I want to be as healthy as I can for as long as I live, right? Gundry and the other longevity experts would tell you that inflation is bad. Any kind of inflammatory condition in your body is bad. I will tell you that there's two types of inflammatory condition, positive and negative. It's like there's two types of stress, positive stress, negative stress. So when you put your body under a heavy load, whether it's high intensity interval training or whether it's progressive weight training, what you're doing is you're creating inflammation. The longevity doctors would throw up their hands and go, oh, fucking don't do that. And I would say they're absolutely wrong, because it's good stress. And what it does is it creates a chemical release in your brain. The reason that laughter is good for you is because it exercises your smile muscles. You don't need to laugh. If you smile, your body will produce the same chemicals. All you need to do is smile. Laughing helps because it makes you smile, but smiling alone will make a chemical release. So the exercise creates a chemical release that improves your mood, your temperament, and your overall health. It's all body chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. So the good inflammation makes your brain release the right chemicals to not only repair your muscles, but it's an endorphin release. From high intensity interval training and progressive weight training, you get an endorphin release. How do we get endorphins? By doing pleasurable things. So why would your body release endorphins when you're putting it under stress? Well, because for the physical being, it's a positive inflammation. It's a positive process. So high intensity interval training, going for a walk, progressive weight training, all of those things are endorphin release producing activities, which make you feel better. It's a natural positive chemical release for your body. So that's a spirit lifter. And I live with a fantastically kinesthetic human being, Donna, and she was a professional Broadway dancer and a ballerina before she was a yogini. If she doesn't work out every day or every other day, you don't want to be around her, because the endorphin release for her exercise is so apparent, it just shifts her mood instantaneously. And that's why you want to exercise, because it's a mood shifter and it increases your cardiovascular flow, increases your oxygen input to your brain and all your organs, and all of that aids in your health and your well-being.
Cool. Now, somebody must have somebody, you know, I see a lot of people shaking their head yes, which is a really good thing. It's an excellent thing. So I would like to open the room up, you know, because basically, you know, I know you guys have some questions and you know, I know you have some statements. So before we move on to the next aspect of the health aspect, I'd like to know, anybody want to share anything that they want to go through or what their exercise program is, or they're just drinking heavy? You know, what's going on?
All of the above.
Yeah.
Hey Tom, what's your jump off point your start off point again? You know, I was following you throughout the whole thing, and so, you know, at the very beginning you gave a starting point.
Yeah. So
go over that one more time.
Yeah. So my story is pretty simple. The Woolsey fire came roaring through Agoura Hills, and I stayed and fought the fire and saved my home. And on that day, I got to face my mortality close up. And I made it, what happened is anytime you're putting in a life-threatening situation like that, you get, particularly at our age, you get a brain dump of chemicals, of cortisol, of adrenaline, of a lot of stuff, right? Because it's fight or flight, right? Well, I'm not a flight kind of guy, I'm a fight kind of guy. So I stood and fought, but what happened is this massive chemical dump took place, and it spun me out for days afterwards. And that kind of woke me up, and I thought, what the fuck is going on here? And then I started researching, okay, how do I restore my brain chemical balance? Because I know it's out of whack, because I can tell it's out of whack. And then I decided to simultaneously start, I wanted to lose 42 pounds. I just had a weight number. That was my starting point. And I said, okay, let me research the latest science in how to lose weight. And I got this software program called Noom, N-O-O-M. And that's the first thing that I did. While I was doing that, I was reading the Gundry books, and then I found Viome.com. If I were doing it all over, I would start with Viome.com. I would get my gut health checked, and then I would shift my diet to what supports my microbiome. That would be the first step I would take. It's the most singular important thing you can do for yourself. And then adding some daily physical activity, going for a walk, riding your bike, whatever it is, just make it a part of your routine. Mm-hmm. I started with walking because I was so fucking out of shape. I couldn't walk up my long driveway without being gassed. Truly, I couldn't. Now I can ride up these canyon hills, 2,200 foot elevation climb for an hour, and I'm fine.
Nice.
So it's progressive, it's patient. Your nutritional gut health lays the foundation for everything else that happens. Then I added exercise on a consistent basis, and then there's three states that we're in. We're either anabolic, positive energy, we're neutral, or we're catabolic. So for about 6-7 months, I was catabolic. I was dropping calories on a weekly basis. I was dropping off that 40 pounds. Anytime you're catabolic, not only are you losing fat, you're losing muscle. Mm-hmm. You can't do both simultaneously. When I started working out, progressive weight training, I was about 6 or 7 months into it because I'd lost some muscle mass and I wanted to get it back. But I knew enough about protein synthesis to say, well, shit, at my age, is that possible? Is it even possible? And so the challenge for me, I had a starting point of a hydrostatic test, and then I had a 6-month measurement of a hydrostatic test. And when from the time I started working out until today, I've averaged 3/4 of a pound of muscle mass gain per month. That's what a 35 to 40 year old person can do optimally. Mm-hmm. Optimally. So the first step is your gut health. The second step is adding some kind of daily activity that you enjoy that gets your blood circulating and gets your heart rate elevated. And if you have any kind of medical condition, make sure you do it gently. I dropped weight too fast and had skin hanging off of me. It took me a couple of months for my skin to tighten up. But 5.5 inches off my waist.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I exercise, I mountain bike, and I do things like that pretty often, but I don't have the gut health in check, you know? So I think maybe, you know, the feeling that the rush I get when I ride, you know, is good. It's kicking my ass lately. I just turned 60, so, you know, I'm starting to feel it a little bit more, and I'm interested in the gut health side of this thing just to, you know, maybe be the additional help I need in feeling, you know, getting the most benefit.
So it takes 90 days. You make a change and it takes 90 days for that to really show up in your microbiome. So you have to be patient for about 3 months. But what happens, I can tell you what happened with me. The first thing that I had when I changed my diet was sugar cravings. And I had them bad for a couple of weeks. It was like a junkie kind of, and I don't eat sugar, but it was the wine that I had been drinking. And so within 180 days, all of those cravings went away. They all went away. And the things that my body wanted were the things that were my superfoods. It was very interesting. And what that is, I've come to find out, is your bacteria communicate to your brain. And whether it's your good bacteria or your bad bacteria, they're telling the brain what they want. So if the bad bacteria want a lollipop or sugar, that's what they're communicating to the brain. So once I had killed off most of the bad bacteria, I no longer had any of those cravings. They just went away because those bacteria are gone. Interestingly enough, I had to eliminate lettuce from my diet for about 3 months because I'd picked up a bacteria because I ate so much salad when I was losing weight. Anytime you're eating fresh vegetables, there's a likelihood that you're going to get bacteria out of the dirt or the soil or whatever. So I eliminated lettuce for 90 days. I still ate radicchio and fennel and endive and spinach and kale, but just no lettuce. 90 days later, that bacteria was out of my system, gone. So I could add lettuce back in. So without that data, without that knowledge, I wouldn't have known that. And what happened is my energy level increased and increased in order for me to feel like I could work out. So it's like a double-edged sword, right? You don't have the gumption and the gas to go work out because your microbiome is functioning at a poor level. But as you lift it up, you are jacked to work out. You know, it's like, it's a whole different reality.
Yeah. Tom, you mentioned one thing over there about 90 days when you see results. Actually, scientists and psychiatrists and sociologists will all tell you the same thing, that it takes 21 days for the mind to effect a change. So that's once you get that 21 days.
The real number in studies is 32 days, and that's a psychological change.
And so that might help you. Now, when I went on my diet, because I lost 60 pounds, mm-hmm. I went with a company called Ideal Protein, and that basically it worked for me. I wish I would have went your way because I think it would have been a little more healthy for me than the way I did it. But here's my point: it's not about how you do it or where you do it; it's the desire to do it. Because if you don't have the desire, then you're not going to do anything for yourself. And so some people don't have the desire. You had a life-shaking episode in your life that made you want to change. I had a life-shaking episode in my life with my back that I wanted to change. So, but once you get that motivation to make the change, all of a sudden, everything falls into place. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And the reason that I thought that the software program Noom was so effective is it's based upon psychology. It helps you stay motivated through that initial 6 month process, which is really the tough time from a discipline standpoint. The advantage that Viome gives you is you know what to eat right off the bat that's the best for you. I didn't know that for the first 6 months I was doing that because I didn't add the biomes. I didn't do my microbiome testing until I was 6 months down the road into my dieting. And once I came upon that, and once I started down that road, it shifted, it really shifted things into a, in a different gear for me.
Now, when you went on that Viome, did you find there were certain things that you had to give up that you didn't want to give up?
In fact, interestingly enough, there's only six foods I needed to eliminate from my diet. And they were six foods that I didn't normally eat anyway. So absolutely not. And the other most interesting thing is I had a list of like 11 or 12 superfoods. Nine of those foods I ate on a regular basis. And they included salmon, wild caught salmon, certain kinds of vegetables and fruits. So in fact, I was already eating most of what I needed to eat. But then there's this, there's these things to minimize. So there's four categories: superfoods, foods to enjoy, foods to minimize, and foods to completely eliminate. There were no foods on the completely eliminate list that I ate regularly anyway, but there were foods that I ate regularly that were on the minimize list, salad being one of them. Mm-hmm. And I had to get rid of it because I had that specific bacteria related to salad.
Was whipped cream on one of those lists? Because I don't know if I can give up whipped cream anymore. That was one of the hard parts for me to give up my diet.
We're not talking sex here, Jan. We're talking nutrition.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. You know, basically. So now I think I really appreciate, you know, you sharing all this information. And one of the things I want to tie this into is mental health right now, because that I'll tell you what happened. Last week when you were talking about the health and what you've done, I got more emails and calls of people thanking me because they felt like this was part of a group and this is a support group. And I really appreciated that because I'd never really gotten anything about that when we were talking about the business side of it. But we're all basically going through the same thing. It's really tough out there for everybody right now. And so, and I've heard of two people now that have committed suicide that they just couldn't make it because the pressure is so great. And I really want to offer this as a support group to one another so that we could talk this out so that if we, any one of us are getting into that position where we feel that the world is getting too big for us, that you're not alone. That's all I would say. You're not alone. And one of the really key elements of being mentally healthy is to also feed your body well and put the right foods into your body. But man does not live by bread alone, so we need other people. And one of the things that you said early on, Tom, which really stuck, really it still sticks out in my brain, was that to think of the things that you are grateful for before you go to sleep. And I think that that is a brilliant observation, and I am sure that there are plenty of people in this room that have lots to be grateful for. You know, especially being, you know, for me, one of the things is to know that my peers are letting me put back into the industry the way I'm doing it. And I really appreciate that. And that I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, gratitude. So I do two gratitude things. I do one before I go to bed. And when I wake up in the morning, I express gratitude mentally. And so I'm a daily meditator on top of everything else. But before I do my meditation, I do an expression of gratitude. And I pick one thing to be grateful for, and I express that. And I just find that that lifts me. No matter what state I'm in, reminding myself to have some gratitude for something takes me out of myself and lifts me.
Okay. I would like to, you know, if it's okay with everybody, and if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. But why don't we go around the room and see, you know, why don't we give each other just one thing that we're, you know, that we're grateful for, whether it be family members, whether it be a business opportunity, whether it be, you know, whatever it is. And so is there any volunteers of somebody who want to go first?
Let me just
okay.
say, Thomas, Chris? You said something that resonated deeply, and it had to do with your fighting the fires, and that released a lot of endorphins and chemicals within your mind, which started you on this positive journey of losing weight and getting yourself in shape and everything else. There's something that was said by somebody very famous who helped this nation through some very difficult times. Her name was Eleanor Roosevelt. And she said, do something to scare yourself every day. And I imagine mountain biking 2,000 feet, you got a few thrills that happen at that time and a little bit of endorphins being released at that as well. You know, we all have different sports that we can do that not only keep us in shape physically, but might challenge us a little bit mentally as well. You know, for me, I might be going out in the bay and fighting some gusts that are coming up off of, you know, off of some storms or something. And it definitely kicks your mind a little bit and keeps you in shape. So, you know, I'm grateful that, first of all, for this round table here that we have and for all the wonderful input that you've given us today. And, you know, and we're all healthy here. We're all talking about it.
Yeah, I'm grateful that I have all my my family and everyone healthy, and definitely appreciative of this conversation. Definitely cool.
Who's going flying there? That's awesome.
Sean, yeah, you're sharing your screen, so you want to share what you're grateful for?
I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
My audio. Hey, there's my audio. Well, I'm grateful for the boys on my screen. Those are my twin boys. I took them up on a Cessna 172 last Beautiful, weekend. Brother. They thought, hey, this is pretty cool. Let's do this to get to work.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool. Sean, I'm going to ask you to unshow that because it's still on the screen as a shared screen. Okay, thanks. Very good. I'll tell you what I'm grateful for. About 5-6 years ago, I had some serious back problems. I was lifting too much weight, and the pulposus of my when my disc split, the pulposus went down and strangled my nerves in my spinal cord, so that I was not able to stand up straight. I was in pain all of the time. And it was the first time in my life that I ever thought that I would commit suicide if I couldn't get rid of the pain and I couldn't stand up. And I remember so well, there was one episode, I was meeting a friend for dinner and I had a walker, and I got to I was running out of gas and I had to go to this gas station. And it took me forever to get out of the car. And while I'm bent over, some guy came over to me and I felt, and he said, hey, I need some money. And I was completely helpless, but he walked away. But I never forgot that. And when I got healthy again, you know, when that surgery took place, I am so thankful that I have the rest of my life right now and that I am healthy and that you know, I'm able to give back to society. So that's something that I'm really thankful for. Somebody else want to go?
Hey, I got a question.
Okay, whoever that is, the voice from space.
Hey, Jen, it's Ken Newman.
So, Ken Newman, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, I'm driving, so I shouldn't be doing this. But a question for Tom about the Aura Ring, is that what it's called? But anyway, it keeps track of your sleep cycles, you were saying, and all kinds of other stuff. So my question is, how, before that Aura Ring or anything like that, did people keep track of their sleep cycle and learn about, you know, what they needed to change?
So there's sleep labs across the country that measure people's sleep cycles. You know, they do the whole brain measurement technique. And prior to Aura Ring, there was an app for the Apple Watch that if you put it, your Apple Watch, and left it on overnight next to your bed, would kind of help you track your sleep cycles. But the Aura Ring was the first really home accurate device that works, and it works beautifully.
Yeah. Actually,
so you had to go to one of those sleep centers like every once in a while and have them track your sleep. Is that it?
There was a ring before the Aura Ring, and I think Jan
called the Motive. And also, there was one other app as well called Auto Sleep, and it's still available on the iPhone as well. But the sleep centers, by the way, in the chat links, I have two articles, one from the Times and one from the Atlantic about sleep. So it's really cool that you should look at it. And I couldn't recommend it high enough to watch it. One thing I will say is people are starting, you know, as we get onto the hour right now, I just want to say one thing, and that's next week our show is going to be about manufacturers. Our support group, we're bringing in manufacturers. Right now I've got commitments from Avid. Robert Scoville will come in, and I got commitment from D&B, Larry Italia, and I've got a few maybe. So we at least have Larry Italia and Avid. So we have D&B and Avid in the room. Oh, and also Raul from JBL. So those are three manufacturers. Probably have some more. And so I just wanted to let you know that. And remember, if you got to leave, hit the three buttons in the chat so you could save the chat and look at the links for later. Okay. I'm sorry, Ken. And did you want to continue asking the question?
Well, I just want to let you know that I am super grateful for all that knowledge that Tom just shared with us. That's amazing, and I wish I wasn't driving. I would be writing down all these websites and stuff. But hopefully, you can send me a copy of the chat because I'm doing this from the phone, so I can't see the chat from here. But anyway, that was awesome, Tom. Thanks very much. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Anytime, Ken. And I've also listed my email address and my cell phone. And if anybody wants to reach out to me at any time, for specific detail or information or specific advice, happy to give it to you for free, happy to be there to chat with you. And I also sent Jan, I don't know, a 2 or 3 or 4 page document.
Yes.
Kind of outlining the generalities of everything I've discussed.
Yeah. And also, if anybody wants to share this with anybody, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook as well. So, and also there's a podcast. So all you have to do is go in your favorite podcast player, whether it be Apple or Spotify, and just type in Sound Broker Mastermind, and it'll appear, so you could listen to it on the audio version as well. That's usually one day late because it takes me a little while to put that together. But this is really good information, and I really thank everybody for participating. Let's keep going. Steve, what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for that fish camp? What's going on there?
I am thankful for that fish camp, man. I tell you, I bought it right before all this crap started, and it's been a blessing for sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't been there in a couple of weeks. But it's a good thing because we actually have work this week.
That's right. And Brian, he's got work too. He had a job today too. And Ken Newman is also working. Tell us a little bit about your work.
I just had a small for the communication department for the City of Charlotte. They were doing a big presser this afternoon, and they needed some extra sound reinforcement. But at the end of the day, the chief media officer said, we're going to do it this way going forward. So I think I got 6 more gigs out of them. So for the year.
Right.
So that'll help. But going back to, 5 years ago, I did the weight loss the hard way. I lost 60 pounds in 5 days. I mean, 5 weeks. Had a rare disease that just attacked my mouth. And so, I'm thankful to getting my health back and coming back on that. But I'm also reading a book right now called The Morning Myth Busted, which actually probably fits with our group real well, that actually people that sleep in later in the morning and get their full sleep are actually more productive and richer than the people that get up at 4:30 in the morning. So all of us that are in the audio industry, that fits right in with us. So, because it was, and basically to what Tom was saying, it gets you that fourth REM cycle in fully. And you're waking up to your natural body cycle. So.
Yeah. That's good. Scott, you haven't said 2 words in 2 weeks. So I don't know whether, you could be mute. You might not have a microphone, but I'm going to put you on the spot, Scott. Come on. You're mute. You're muted. Let me see if I could take you off mute over here if I can. I don't think I can. You have to hit your, let me see if I can do that. Ask to unmute. You need to unmute your microphone. Usually it's a little button on the bottom left-hand side.
All right, I got that.
There you go.
No, I'm just so enjoying this whole platform. And yeah, grateful is just having, I could die today, and I'm so far ahead, having spent 45 years doing what I love and not having to work, so to speak. I've been winning for so many years. Nice. That I should be able to die happy today. But so yeah, every day is another chance to do something else I've never done before, or test my limitations. But no, I loved the fellowship of seeing other people that get it and understand those things, because we live in such a small percentage of people who enjoy going to work. It's sad to really drive around and think about that and see all the people who really hate to be where they are, but it's a means to an end, and they got commitments, and at least they're doing that and not breaking windows and ripping people off. But enjoying going to work is that's a blessing that few people really have.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. I know myself that I'm at this point in time, you know, I'm 69 and I could retire at any moment now. I could just say, hey, you know, but I love what I do. I actually love what I do. And those people that I don't love doing with it, that I don't love doing it with, I'm not doing it with, you know, I'm saying to them, you know, hey, there's always eBay and there's always my competitor. You know, it's like, I've really been thinking about changing my voicemail back to where it would say, if you'd call me and it would say, hi, this is Jan, I'm going through some changes right now, and if I don't get back to you, you're one of my changes, you know. And that's what I'm thinking about, you know, because life is really short right now. You know, one of the things that I've noticed, you know, is like now when I see, you know, when I hear somebody passing away, you know, the first question I ask is, how old was he? You know, how old? And then I said, well, let's see, he was 60. I've lived 9 more years than him. All right, that's good, you know? You know, and if the guy's 69, I say, oh my God, that's my age. Oh my Lord, you know? And then, of course, if the guy is like 80, I can't do the math that quickly, but I'm saying, man, I got a lot of time left. That's good, you know? So I'm always comparing to those people around me that, or in the news that I'm hearing that pass away. But I to say that, and I really mean this as sincerely as I've ever said anything, I am really concerned about a lot of people in the industry right now that have, through no fault of themselves, find themselves in a really tough financial spot and losing everything that they've built up. So for us, it's really important to make sure, like David Sherman said many, many weeks ago, is that not everybody is telling us what's going on in their life. And you really don't want to hear the bad things from people. You only want to hear the positive stuff, because we've got enough bad stuff in our own lives. So all you want to do is hear the good stuff from people. But you really need to be observant right now to other people in the industry. And if you see that they're, you know, nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody. I know when somebody says, hey, you know, you're talking too much, or you're doing this, there's a little bit of resentment there. And so one of the things is, you know, one of the things I could highly recommend is don't tell people what to do, but figure out a way how to ask them questions so they come to their own answers in regards what they could do and how you could assist them. But, you know, this is a great place to be. I really thank everybody for supporting this roundtable. It's a great group, and you know, any ideas that you have, anything you want to share, you know, this is an open space, even though thousands and thousands of people are watching it, so which is a good thing, you know. Tom?
Hey, Jan, in closing, if you really want to do a deep dive into the molecular biology of what it is I'm talking about, the most highly recommended book I can recommend to you is called Lifespan by David Sinclair. And he's a molecular biologist that talks about the cellular level mitochondrial biology of the things that I'm broadly discussing. It's an amazing, amazing piece of research. And he's probably one of the leading, molecular biologists in the country, but his book called Lifespan is a theoretical description of the aging process And his current theory is that aging, from a biological standpoint, is an option. And he thinks that in 3 to 5 years, the science will be in place to have a genetic trigger mechanism on a mitochondrial level to repair cell damage, which is a pretty remarkable statement for a guy of this quality to make. So highly recommend it.
Very, very cool. All right. Does anybody else have anything they want to share before we say 73, 62, and even to the rest of the world? That's Ham Radio Talk, by the way, or Dick Tracy Talk, I think.
All right. Well, I say 88 to you, Jan.
Tom, you were talking about this guy who went to the doctor and gave him 6 months to live. I heard a story about a guy who gets a call from his doctor and says, "I got bad news and worse news for you." And the guy says, What's the bad news? And the doctor says, "You've only got 24 hours to live." And the guy says, "What could be worse than that?" And the guy's doctor says to him, "Hey, I forgot to call you yesterday." You know, so we gotta stay healthy. We gotta stay. David, I just realized you didn't say anything. No, not two words about it. What are you grateful for?
Me?
Yeah.
A lot of you already know I've got an incredible wife and an incredible life. I've been doing what I love for 50 years. I mean, I'm a really lucky guy. I get to wake up naturally. I don't have an alarm. I get to go to bed whenever I'm tired. I live in a wonderful home. I have great friends. Tom and you and Kenny have been my friends for decades. It's great. I hope I live for a very long time because I'm very happy living.
Well, that's really good. That you stole a line from Paul Newman, that decades business, right? Right, Kenny?
Paul Anka.
That's right. Yeah, Paul Anka. Anyway, I can't think of anything else. If anybody else wants to say anything, then let's say it. If not, I want to thank you all for spending the time that you have with us and investing in us as a group. Next week, we have the Manufacturers Roundtable, which is going to be pretty interesting. I hear there's going to be some serious questions that people are already starting to think about asking these guys. So I am very much looking forward to next week and to seeing you all again. And I want to thank you all for coming. And if you like what you saw, spread the word, click the like buttons, share the video, share the audio, because I think we really did a good service for people. We've offered a lot of information in regarding to how to stay healthy and mentally fit during this roundtable, the support roundtable. So I want to thank you all very much. All right, have a great week. We'll see you next week. That's for sure. I'm gonna just shut the recording off right now, and we are.